Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB. Welcome back to the most listened to program in all of the Sand Hills. It's time once again for Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams, and up next, we got John Zumbaugh with a special guest. Good morning, John.
Well, good morning, Steve, and good morning, everyone. And, you know, I often say we're very honored when we have a guest on here, and I always mean it. I consider it an honor anytime any local politician or someone who is in the community will come on and be with us. But today I particularly mean it because we're great fans. And my guest will be speaking at the Lincoln Reagan Dinner next Friday. If you have not gotten tickets yet, it's not too late. The ticket sales close on Sunday. I expect it'll be sold out. But he's going to be a great guest today. And let me say hello first to Steve Bannon. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, I decided early on I don't want to say a whole lot. We've got a limited amount of time. I think our listeners want to hear from you. But I'm going to be in big trouble if I don't get you to say, give a shout-out to Virginia Tech, and in particular, Llewellyn.
Well, as you know, I'm a Hokie from way back from 1976. And the school was a little different back then when I attended. It's a much bigger institution today, but great folks down there. And I'm glad to hear the folks in Carolina that went to Virginia Tech.
There's so many things that you could talk about, and we couldn't possibly get to them all. And for the folks who I did not really don't feel like I gave you a really good introduction, it's because it would take the whole 30 minutes, and I don't want to waste it on that. I hope those of you who by some miracle do not know him well or not familiar with him, I hope you'll Google it, because his introduction alone would take a long time. Steve, one of the things that there's so many things, but I'll tell you one of the top ones. At first, we thought we might ask you to talk about the speakers, lack of having a speaker, and then we talk about the economy, both of which you could speak on for hours and hours, teach a class on. But I'm very much interested in to hear you talk about the president's speech last night. Would you comment on that?
I think the speech is very much tied to the speaker's fight. I mean, this fight is and for the folks out there maybe haven't quite focused on or watching, just taking it off Fox News and the mainstream media. This is the fight. If you believe in limited government and if you believe in fiscal responsibility, this is the fight we've looked for 20 years. This fight is about the way that, you know, I don't like calling it the swamp because I think it's too cute a term, but this is the way the imperial capital works. And this is the way that they're bankrupting not simply this country, but every working man and woman in this. This is a fight about appropriations. This is a fight about spending money. And Biden last night, I think it's one of the most disgusting speeches I've ever heard any president give. And to have Brett Hume, you know, on Murdoch's news network come up right after it and say it's one of the greatest speeches he's ever heard from the Oval Office and the best speech that Biden's ever made. That's been a time of fiscal crisis when we do have some strategic priorities we have to think through, like number one, the invasion of our southern border, which is paramount. Number two, Israel and Taiwan. He's talking $60 to $80 billion to a money laundering, child trafficking, bioweapons, festering sore that is Ukraine right now. I mean, it's just up in your face. And this shows you how corrupt and how out of touch with the American people these folks, the globalists in this imperial capital, are. And that's why this speaker fight, hey, if they don't have a speaker, you can't pass a CR. The ticking clock comes on the 17th. Shut the government down. This thing is out of control. And right now, the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times of London have disagreed with the War Room's analysis of this, now agree. We're in a crisis. This refinancing of $33 trillion of debt is going to basically jack interest rates up, and every credit card, every mortgage, every adjustable mortgage, every car loan, working class people here are going to be wiped out. Right now, with a 30-year mortgage at 8%, for a couple buying a $400,000 20% down, it's another $1,000 a month. And wages aren't increasing like that. So they're going to gut. Folks under 35 years old are going to be gutted in this country. We have a crisis. Got to be addressed now. And Jim Jordan today, this press conference going on right now, is going over the heads of the moderates and the appropriators in the Armed Services Committee, who are the 20 that are blocking him. Remember, the folks blocking him are called the old bulls. And a lot of these folks come from the South. A lot of these Republican congressmen come from super MAGA districts, pro-Trump districts in the South. They're called the Cardinals up there on Capitol Hill. They're the most important people because they're on the Appropriations Committee or chair subcommittees. They're the ones that are still furious about we threw McCarthy out and threw Scalise out. So this is a fight, and I've told Jim Jordan, you got to get to the floor, you got to start voting, unmask them publicly, and keep voting. If it takes all weekend, it takes all weekend. You got to punch this through. So this is a fight. And look, we've wanted this fight for years. This is, if you talk, you hear all these politicians talk about limited government, this fight right here is about how you get limited government, and you get limited government committee by committee to take out and turf out and use a trenching tool to get rid of these appropriators up there that just want to spend money and have a $7 trillion budget they haven't passed yet, that we already have a $2 trillion deficit, $2 trillion in this year alone, and Biden's going to come before the American people and ask for another $100 billion supplement of money we have to borrow or money we have to print. This is an obscenity. And people got to get serious about this. The only way you see what's happening, they're not going to just turn it over because you say, oh, I believe I'm a limited government Republican. It doesn't work like that. This is the fight. If you believe in limited government, this is the fight. This is what our founders fought against the British for. This is about tyranny. And if you believe in freedom, if you believe in self-determination, if you believe in self-reliance, this is the fight.
Do you think that we have the gut for that fight?
I think we're finding out right now. I tell you, who has the guts of the fight? The reason we're so advanced in this is MAGA, is the deplorables, is your audience. They're lighting up these phone lines. They're sending emails, and they don't like it. They're saying, oh, this is intimidation. These people are too mad. You're damn right they're mad. They're mad because the people they put in office are working with globalist Democrats to bury them. They're mad, and they have a right to be mad. And yes, we're winning this, and they don't like it. When the mainstream media says it's in chaos, trust me, this is the most stable you could get it because they can't pass any of these spending bills. They're going to jam in another CRMU. They're going to jam in another omnibus. And the reason they want an omnibus is that you can't break out exactly what they voted for. This is how they get paid for. This is how the lobbyists pay them. So this fight, we've got the political muscle right now. The MAGA movement, the deplorables, working men and women out there throughout the country, overwhelmingly in these districts of the 20, overwhelmingly want to get Jordan in. And Jim Jordan's far from perfect, as people know, that Jim Jordan of the early days was the fire breed that we need. That's not the Jim Jordan we got. He actually agreed to this ridiculous deal with Patrick McHenry. And I understand McHenry comes from North Carolina, but he's part of the problem. McHenry was the chief negotiator on this debt deal that has no limits to it. And you're about to get, the government's been hiding the numbers today. They promised they're going to report them on the fiscal year that ended September 30th. You're going to see close to a $1.7 to $2 trillion deficit in 1 year. And McHenry's the architect of, quite simply, the worst deal ever cut by Congress with administration that is literally going to bury us.
Is that even real money at this point?
Well, that is an absolutely great question. Here's the problem. The fiat currency that is a Federal Reserve note, the way the system works, the elites in this country have a process to enrich themselves on the back of working class and the middle class. And that is you have fiscal irresponsibility in Congress that continues to pass these massive spending bills that have huge deficits in it. And then we have the ability, if the Chinese or the Japanese insurance companies or the Chinese Communist Party don't buy the bonds, the Federal Reserve will buy them. You just essentially print money. And what's happened is you have a concentration of wealth. Remember, from the financial crisis of 2008, the Obama administration, he was the most progressive, quote-unquote, president in history, had the greatest now we have a turbocharged concentration of wealth. This is why under 1% of the population, I think, owns 90% of the assets in this country. You see it everywhere. You see it in North Carolina. You see it everywhere, where you see the middle class and the working class and the assault every day economically, while the super wealthy get richer. And it shouldn't be lost on anybody. The super wealthy are the most progressive people in this country. These are the people that back all this. This is the people that had these people in place. These are the people that up on Capitol Hill with their lobbyists and their lawyers and their PR firms, you know, whether it's Zuckerberg or Gates or the whole crew of them. That's what's driving this country. If the revolutionary generation came back today, particularly in Carolina, where essentially the battles were fought that won the American Revolution, if they came back today, they would spit on the floor that we have become exactly what they fought against. A worthless landed aristocracy, the British crown and the aristocracy in England, plus the monopolistic power of the British East India Company and other companies like that had charters from the crown. That's what they fought about. That was the heart of the matter, was the tyranny of that. We have effectively created that same system 240-some years later. That's what this fight. I don't want to hear any of the politicians or any of the persons that have for limited government. If you're not in this fight right now, this is what limited government is about. It's to take the power away from the imperial Washington, D.C., and return that power back to the people. And that's why this fight is. We have to win this fight. You don't win this fight, the country's finished.
Well, we have realized on this particular radio station that we can fight the local fight very well, and we affect what we can affect. Let me rephrase that. One of my favorite quotes of yours, because I believe so strongly that we are starting to act like a country that's never heard of a constitution. One of my favorite quotes of yours is, "I stand with Trump and the Constitution," and here's the part I like: "I will never back off that ever." Were you just as strong on that as you ever were?
I'm going to federal prison for 4 months. Because I'm the one person that said, Peter Navarro and I stood to Nancy Pelosi on an illegitimate committee. Not just executive privilege. My argument to that court when I was found guilty by the, which is true, I fought Pelosi on an illegitimate January 6th committee that didn't have a ranking member and didn't have a minority counselor. You couldn't look at the evidence. You couldn't cross-examine the witnesses. I said, this is unconstitutional. We may live in a post-constitutional country, but I don't have to comply with that. I don't have to consent to that, and I will not consent to that. And I said, if I go to federal prison for 4 months, I go to federal prison for 4 months, but I'm going to stand my ground. They have shredded the Constitution. They've shredded the Constitution. And now they have an apparatus, and I disagree with one thing. Your listeners, the reason that we've locked them up and jammed them up is because of the voice of the audience. This we had no resource to do this. This is basically talk radio hosts, people on streaming services, shows like mine, but also thousands of other shows like yourself. People finally calling their congressman, calling their local office, which calling their local office is the most important, calling their local offices, sending emails, going out and protesting. They've already had a couple of protests. This is what populism is about. You're not going to be saved by somebody coming in and waving a magic wand. Donald Trump himself can't totally save us from this. This is why he's going to need the backing of every member of the MAGA movement to be an activist, to have his back. When he comes in 2025, if you just do the numbers right now on where the national debt's going to be, what the deficit's going to be, what interest rates are, when he steps in January 25, it's going to be a disaster. And he's going to need everybody's back to take on Washington, D.C. Everybody's going to have his back to Washington, D.C. So I disagree. Your audience is the backbone of this revolt. Your audience is the one throughout the country, from Montana and Oregon and Washington, Alaska, all the way down to Florida, Maine, all across the country. People are on fire. That's why if you look at mainstream media, they're freaking out. Oh, this is the pressure campaign. This pressure campaign is not working. If the mainstream media is telling you the pressure campaign's not working, that means it's working to the 10th degree and it's got to continue. Because this is Vox Populi. This is people standing up to say we've had enough of this. And yeah, I like to put my money where my mouth is. I've been sentenced to 4 months in a federal prison. Why? For standing up to Nancy Pelosi and not complaining. complying with her legitimate committee.
I've got to remind folks, because I know they're getting riled up out there, because I know our audience, and I'm so happy that they are, that you're going to be here next Friday speaking at the Lincoln Reagan Dinner, and you can still get tickets, folks, to see him and speak to him, and I hope you will do so. Steve, I'm going to turn it over to one of your, another big fan of yours, Steve Woodward. He's got a couple of questions for you.
Good morning, Steve. I'm the third Steve on the air here, and fellow Hokie. You know, I'm glad you're coming for a number of reasons, but foremost, we have a lot of Republicans in North Carolina, and particularly even in Moore County, who are very kind of squishy, I would say. In fact, there are many pockets of purple across this state. Patrick McHenry lives in one of them. They're not, what I'm getting at is that not everybody here is Dan Bishop. And my request to you when you're here on Friday in a week, don't hold back on calling out the rhinos. Some of them may be in the room, and I hope that you make them uncomfortable, because we have a hard time doing that sometimes. You know, we try to be polite to our elected officials, and they exploit that.
Here's one thing I would say to the Reiners, or essentially who are moderate Democrats. There's a French poet who said the most important thing you must do in life is to see what you see. All I ask of moderates, all I ask of people we would call squishes, all I would ask of what we call Reiners, is please look at the facts and be able to extrapolate out where this is headed. You see right now where we are after 3 years of this regime, that people, particularly rhinos, the collaborationists in the Senate, the Republican collaborationists in the Senate, and many in the House have worked with these folks on a business model that is actually destroying the country. So if they have actively worked on back in these CRs, if they supported that debt ceiling, I'll go through the math, and I want to hear their math. Because math doesn't lie. And we're on the cusp of it right now. Just look, don't take it from me. Pull your credit card statement out. At 29% APR, and it's going to get a lot worse. Look at the 30-year mortgage at 8%. Look at the 10-year bond at 5%. These are going to explode. They've already exploded. They're going to explode more. Why? Because of federal government spending. You can't run $2 trillion deficits that you have to finance every year. It's mathematically impossible. On top of that, you have to refinance a massive part of the $33 trillion. That is not just there. These banks that you're looking at, in Charlotte being a major banking center, the balance sheets of these banks are awful. Bank of America just disclosed the other day they have $136 billion of unrealized losses in the government bond portfolio. Everybody in your audience, the Wall Street Journal finally made it yesterday, the old 60-40 strategy, that every money manager has told every person in your audience has been it since time immemorial, 60% stocks, 40% bonds. Your bond portfolio has been eviscerated. You should ask your financial advisor and ask every one of the audience, have you looked at your bond portfolio? It used to be a safe investment. The bond portfolio today is worth 50 cents on the dollar. Why? Because of the massive increase in interest rates driven by government spending, Biden inflation. Biden spending led to Biden inflation, led to these Biden bonds. And this is a ticking time bomb. And when it goes off, there's going to be no way back for the country. This is going to stop everybody's first level. You see, in commercial real estate right now. Look at residential real estate. That's the canary in the mine shaft. It's an interest rate in the 10-year bond. We had E.J. Antonio on from Heritage yesterday. It's at 5%. He thinks it'd go to 8% in 6 months. If that happens, 25% of the companies in this country are going to be bankrupt. Personal bankruptcies will be at all-time high. Interest rates are exploding. They're not slowing down. They're not slowing down because the imperial capital continues to spend. Last night, you had a president of the United States that has an $880 billion defense bill, right, that they're just working on passing, that has a $7 trillion budget, $2 trillion deficit. Look the American people in the eye. His number one priority was a $100 billion supplemental to go everywhere over hell's half acre. Not the United States of America. These people are living in the past, And we have to live not just in the present, we also have to, as the revolutionary generation did, live in the future. Every generation before us has put the country first and put future generations first. And what we've turned into is to think these elites in this country, as the country collapses, they're grabbing it with both hands on the way down. And that's what this fight on Capitol Hill is about right now.
And by the way, when you're here next week, you will be, as you know, in close proximity to the largest U.S. Army base in the world, Fort Bragg. We don't call it Fort Liberty. And, you know, we pay lip service to our men and women in the military and thank them for their service. And then we turn around and we participate in the grift that is Ukraine. And now we're going to get drawn into the Middle East conflict. And who knows when Taiwan will be on the radar. But, you know, it's really a shame that that we're exploiting our military in this way. Don't you agree?
It's horrible. I was a naval officer for 8 years, spent 4 years with the Pacific Fleet. I was in the Persian Gulf in the North Arabian Sea during the first hostage crisis with the Persians back in 79. Look, the Persians have been at war with the West for 3,000 or 4,000 years. This is no different. It was Greece at first, it was Rome, and now it's America. The Judeo-Christian West is against its enemies, the Persians, now driven by the Chinese Communist Party. A trap's been laid for us in Gaza by the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Persians have their proxy armies all around us. The Third World War started. The Third World War started because the Chinese Communist Party has been in unrestricted warfare against the United States for at least a decade. And this is why last night the Congress has not forced Biden to come to the House and lay out a plan in the War Powers Act. Exactly, tell me what the strategy in Ukraine is. Tell me what the objectives in Ukraine are, and don't give me democracy. I need to know exactly what we spent the $113 billion we already spent. You've got non-commissioned officers and junior enlisted at Fort Bragg that have to send their wives out on food stamps. You spent $113 billion in a money laundering operation in Ukraine with no set objectives, and you're coming back with the gall to ask us for another $60 to $80 billion for a money laundering operation that you and your son and your entire family were hooked up in a child trafficking, in a bioweapons lab, and you don't have the common decency to lay out the objectives, and the Congress is too gutless because they're stealing with both hands to force you to tell the American people exactly what the plan is. What is this plan? We've got to stop shoveling money around and stop. By the way, your sons and daughters are going to die on foreign battlefields just like the 20-year war we had in Iraq and Afghanistan unless you stand up to these people today.
Steve, we just had a listener ask us, so let me remind folks that we are talking with Steve Bannon today. Very blessed to have him on. Steve, I'm not sure we'll get too many more questions in, but I do have one for you. The mainstream media is trying to make Republicans feel really bad about pushing this House Speaker issue. What can we say to them? What can you say to them to encourage them that this is a good idea?
It's very simple. If the mainstream media is telling you something, that means it's the exact opposite from the truth. Here's the question you put back to them. How else are we going to stop this out-of-control spending, these CRs, these omnibuses? How are you going to stop this unless you actually get back to some rules that we get appropriations bills and you get actually these spending bills? The only way to do it is to force this through the Republican conference. And remember, 90% of the conference supports it. 100% of your audience supports it. The American people demand this because they're being buried about this. And as the mainstream media does, they said back in January, oh, this is chaos. That set up a set of rules that we finally could control, that run the House for the best interest of the American people. If the mainstream media doesn't like it, if the media barons in New York, if Rupert Murdoch and a bunch of foreigners that own Fox News and all the lackeys of Fox News don't like it, and Newt Gingrich, that crowd, I don't give a damn. They're the problem. That's how we got in this jam. And you think they're going to just hand you the keys and pat you on the head and say, isn't this terrific? These grassroots people, these MAGA people, the deplorables, want to have control, just like when Trump won in 16. They're going to fight you every day. They're going to lie every day. They're going to use the law to come after you, the Justice Department, the FBI. They're going to put you in jail. They're going to bankrupt Trump. Hell, Trump's got 600 years or 700 years of prison. criminal charges. And they're trying to liquidate his company in New York. They're trying to liquidate Mike Lindell. Anybody that stands up to them. They chained Peter Navarro up like a dog, the FBI did. Anybody that stands up to them, they're going to come after you. You know what I say? We have not yet begun the fight. Bring it. Because we're going to win this fight. The reason we're going to win it, we have to win it. There's no alternative.
You know, I suspect you might have been an Army guy, not a Navy guy, but I'm not going to argue that with you. Steve, we've got about a minute and a half, and as you know, the clock, no one can defeat the clock. When the time's up, it's up. So can you take the last minute and a half or minute and just say anything you'd like for us to hear, please?
Well, I'd love to, folks, to love to meet as many folks as possible in North Carolina, but next week I do very few of these talks, but I've got family down there, and even being a Virginian, I've always had a deep love for North Carolina, particularly that part of Carolina, so I'm looking forward to come down. Hope to meet as many people as possible, and always remember, your show and your audience is what's turning this country around. Not just local issues, but they hear your voice in Washington, D.C., and they don't like it. They don't like it because it goes against the imperial system they have. This is just like 1774, 1775, and 1776. You're the exact same patriots back then, and that's why they hate hearing from you. So you guys keep it up. Your audience is absolutely key to this fight.
Thank you. It was wonderful speaking with you. We're looking forward to seeing Steve Bannon at the Lincoln Reagan Dinner. Don't forget to get your tickets. And, Steve, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your very busy day.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. That's all it goes for this Friday. You have yourself a great, safe day. We'll see you back bright and early tomorrow for a tomorrow. Steve. Monday. For Monday. Until then, be sure to support the advertisers you hear on WEEB. They're the core of our economic life here in Moore County. When you keep them able to get the first crack at your spending dollars, well, our economy strengthens. Jobs come out. And we are the benefit of all that. If you'd like to be a part of it, well, call us here at WEEB and let us show you how talk radio is so effective in the world of advertising, particularly in this type of a community. All right, that's it for me, the leader man, Nick and Colt the dog. We'll all see you this afternoon at the dog park.